Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And what's
this
the
shirt,
recipe?
Though, real quick, before we get to this shirt, I'm fascinated by this jersey producer Matt's wearing today.
The Roethlisberger jersey.
It looks like, you know how when you're in high school, and or even beyond high school, how you have, you know, a lady or your girlfriend or your wife or somebody, and they, a woman or a young lady buys a kid's size jersey. Like, this is clearly
stand up, Matt.
Yeah, it's small. I mean, look
that's
at the
young.
Sleeves.
That
I
is
know.
Young. Oh my gosh!
What grade did you get this jersey in?
I don't like seventh, maybe
seventh or eighth grade.
I mean, it's young. If I bend over too much, it's
you
like
look like Ron with that Doran Dickerson jersey.
If you put your arms above your head, it would be a belly shirt.
I know. I'm afraid to.
Can I ask a question? Because I think people bring these jerseys out, or where has that been all this time?
I actually forgot that I had pulled it out of my parents' closet like 2 years ago, and it was in the very back of mine at my house now. And I saw it last night, and I was like, you know what? If there's ever a time to wear this,
it's now.
It's now.
Okay. All right.
One last time for this guy.
One last go. Are you going to wear it again on Sunday, I presume?
For the game?
Maybe.
No update on my friend who's trying to get his Miami of Ohio jersey signed by Ben. He's efforting that. He's trying a couple different inroads. He wants it because he's retiring it.
My son has become afraid now to wear his Patty Mahomes jersey, as he calls him, to school. He actually laid out a Steelers shirt last night. He'll end up not wearing either. I can almost guarantee it.
Why, though? Did he get guff from kids?
No, he didn't get guff. He just knows it's black and gold day at school today.
It's black and gold day at our school today, too. And there's also, my son has some friend who, it's early dismissal from school today.
Oh, okay.
There's some weird schedule at our school.
Yeah, we get 2-hour delays like every once in a while.
Well, it's not that. It is like they even up the schedule with the elementary teachers and the middle school teachers. Okay. So this happens once every 2 months or something. But my son is staying after because some kid that's a friend of his is filming a movie at the school. And there's like, some fifth grader.
Wow.
And there's like 6 or 7 of them. And they got like, the principal's allowing this.
Yeah.
Careful what you wish for. I can't believe they're doing. And they're staying after and they're filming some kind of movie. And my son is in it.
Is it like for school? Like a school project?
I think the thing, kind of, they have to show it to the school. Like, it's like, you know, it's going to be like 30 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
But this kid's very creative.
Oh, that's
awesome. My son's buddy. And so they're staying after. But it was very vague. And I was like, are you sure the principal? And we had to sign a paper and whatever.
Oh.
So, I don't know. And I go, well, what are you going to do with this movie?
Mm-hmm.
I go, don't let the kid sell you the movie. Like, you
no,
at least got to get a copy.
If you're in it, you get a copy.
He goes, do I get a copy of it? I go, yeah, you get a copy of it.
Yeah, if you ask for it.
Right, just tell him. So, that's happening. But it's Black and Gold Day, and so it was
absolutely.
There was a big ordeal at our house, though, because he had to bring other clothes because you can't wear, like, his Steelers shirt for the movie.
Oh, for the movie. Gotcha. So, he's got to have a change of clothes. Yeah, I went all out Yinzer today, too. I got my Steelers hat and my the Paramount Sports zip up that Lee gave us a couple years ago for Christmas with the black and gold sleeves.
So
and all
what's
that.
A win look like? We were talking
about this. You know, we talk about this a lot, but I saw a baseline kind of put out there. Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football, right? He tweeted this yesterday. These are non-negotiable at KC. He says Steelers ingredients for an upset: T.J. Watt, 3 sacks, 2 Chiefs turnovers, a defensive score, Najee 150 total yards, a successful trick play, Roethlisberger, 3 quality NFL throws.
I don't ever think there's a certain template and a checklist that needs to be met. I don't like I don't think you need defensive scores. I do think you need turnovers. Like, let's say you
short fields at the very
yes,
least.
Yes, if you turn the football over and you get it on the 18, you know, even if you get a field goal out of it.
I do think they need one play. There has to be one play in this game where it's, whether it's just a turnover deep in Kansas City territory, maybe it is like a scoop and score or a pick six or a blocked punt, whatever. Or maybe it's a big play on offense, right? Ben finally hooks up with Claypool and Claypool doesn't fall over down the sideline and goes all the way, you know, or Najee breaks a big run, whatever. You need at least one of those to kind of to wrest control of the momentum at some point in this game.
I don't think so. What if Kelce goes out there and twists his ankle in the third play of the game and he's unavailable?
Okay.
You know, like, whenever you have a checklist like that, like that Kyle Brandt laid out, I don't subscribe to that. You know, because can they win a football game without a defensive score? Sure they can. What about a special team score instead? Or what about somebody fumbles on the two and then you punch it in on the next play?
But you don't think that they don't need at least one big sort of momentum tide turning play at some point?
I do, but he didn't say that.
What I just said, where they need at least one of those things.
Correct, they do. They do, but they don't need to put it in the end zone as a defensive unit.
Said. And look, I agree. They were doing it for the purposes of like it was a bit that they cooked up where it was.
They do need a tide turning play. They don't need James Harrison returning the football for a touchdown.
No.
What they do need is a strip sack from T.J. Watt as the score is tied. And it's the third quarter
in their own territory.
And they're on their 22,
yeah.
And you strip sack and somebody jumps on it, and all of a sudden you got it on the 16, and you got 6 minutes left, and you go, holy hell, how did we get here?
I'll go so far as to say I think if they win the turnover battle by more than one, like let's say the Chiefs turn it over three times, Steelers once or less.
Now, I agree with that 100%.
That, I think, is enough to put them in position to win the game.
Really?
Now,
nope.
but seriously, I think that's enough to put them in position to win it. You get force three and give it up one time or fewer, that puts them in a position, I think, to win this
game. Can I lay something out? What I've been thinking about is I don't think that if the Chiefs have even one play of 60 yards or more from scrimmage, the game's over. I think if they – because then what'll happen is – the Steelers will be forced to think about that, play to it, understand they could be hit over the head at any time.
And then they back off. And
yes.
Then, yeah.
I just think it would cause jockeying and stuff in the back of that defense. I could be dead wrong. A lot of people disagree with me. Like, okay, it's like giving up a home run to start the game. So what? Get another ball and go ahead. You're just down 1-0. But if they, and especially early, but really at any time, if they give up a big home run ball, a big hitter of a play, I think the Steelers are wonder if they're supposed to be there.
Yeah, and plus, it does. It just loosens everything up from there,
correct?
Right? Like, you don't have – and then all the stuff underneath starts to get hit, right? Then all of a sudden, Kelce's open for 6 or 7 yards on every single play, and before you know it, he's got, like, 15 targets, and the game's over. Before it even got started.
The turnover battle, though, for me, is the biggest number in all of this. You know, if the Chiefs need – it needs to be a plus 1.5 or more in the Steelers' favor.
Yeah.
If they both turn it over two times, it's a wash.
Yeah.
If Steelers they both turn it over once – if the Steelers lose a turnover battle, no chance.
It'll look like
all.
It did the day after Christmas.
Who's going to punt? I know that doesn't sound like a big deal, but
in the scenario that we're painting, though, it is a big deal.
Because
if you're holding the Chiefs – if you're making the Chiefs drive, right, you're not – allowing big plays. Let's say that works out, right? They don't allow anything over 40 yards. No big play touchdowns, okay? If you do that and you force the Chiefs to put together drives, you increase the opportunity for Watt and Hayward and Minka to make big plays. You increase the effort that the Chiefs have to put into it. You increase the opportunities for Tyreek Hill to maybe get further dinged up, or Edwards-Helaire if he even plays at all, or Williams. You increase the opportunity that mistakes are going to be made by the offensive line. To do all of that, to create long drives and long fields,
you better
your punter's got to put you in position sometimes.
That's why I really... It is not in their best interest to give Harvin a hat.
No, it should be Waitman.
It definitely should be Waitman, because the good punts might be the same, but I don't think Waitman runs the risk of having the bad ones like Harvin.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, that
I
makes
think
total
on their
sense.
On their best day, the good ones are a push. They're negligible.
Let me ask you this, unrelated to the punting, but back to the defense for just a second, yes. Because you got me thinking about the underneath stuff. What do you do with Kelce?
Edmonds plays him.
Yeah.
I think that you run the risk that
that's your best chance.
It's what
it's
you
not
got.
Much of a chance, but it's your best chance.
That has to be what happens, and you come up, and you maybe even use Minka some more.
Yeah.
This might be
bracket him sometimes with both safeties if you have to.
If you want Minka to earn that money, and he is as good as everybody says he is, it becomes a time now where it's just you got that guy, you got that guy. Here's two premier talents in the NFL. Let's go.
Man, I tell you what, maybe I'm just being a provincial Yinzer Steeler fan. As the week rolls on, I find myself thinking more and more, it's not likely, but the possibility, that faint little glimmer, that faint little flame inside me gets fanned just a little bit more, because we sit here and talk about different things they can do. And is it realistic that they're all going to happen? They're all going to play out that way? Probably not. But it gives you, when you can create the path or create the scenario in your head and you can visualize it, it gives you a little bit more hope.
A win is a last-second win for the Steelers.
Yes, it's a walk-off Boswell field goal.
The win, I said this about this weekend, they are both all-or-nothing propositions. And this is what I mean by this. We're either going to get virtually no snow or 13 inches. The Steelers are either going to get totally blown out by Kansas City or win. They are both all-or-nothing propositions. We're going to sit here Monday morning, and there's going to be dusting, or we're going to be buried up to our nose in snow, and we're going to sit here Monday morning, and it's going to be like, that was 42-6, good season, Ben's over, or, oh my gosh, they're still playing,
yes.
They won that football game. They're not going to lose 23-20.
I'm inclined to agree with you. Like, I don't... The only scenario where the Steelers win is it's got to be close. Like, they're not blowing out the Chiefs. I do think there's a scenario where maybe the Steelers stay tight the entire game, and then the Chiefs kind of skate by with one. They get away with one, and that actually awakens them for the rest of the playoff run. But I think it's more than likely that if the Chiefs are going to win, like you said, it's going to look like the day after Christmas all over again. Is your optimism, like I just talked about, is it growing? Are you feeling increasingly better about this thing as we get closer to Sunday night? Or increasingly dreadful, like, oh, man, this is not going to be pretty. Lee Sterling at the top of the hour. Carrington Harrison at 8:30 from 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. And somebody's got a suggestion for one of the quarterbacks playing in one of these wild card games this weekend that you're going to want to hear, because it'll wake you up. It'll get things moving. Let's put it that way. That's next here on the Fan Morning Show. All right, back into Steelers-Chiefs in just a moment, but, you know, there's a pair of wild card games tomorrow as well. Starts at 4:30 with the Raiders and Bengals, and then the 8:15 game tomorrow night up in Buffalo, Patriots visiting the Bills. Big story yesterday, Josh Allen's performance or lack thereof in subs freezing temperatures. He just not good. Says he's got a circulation problem with his toes, in fact, that makes it difficult for him when it gets super cold out. They talked about it on ESPN's morning show, Get Up, yesterday. You'll hear Bart Scott with a very interesting piece of advice for Josh Allen. First, Diana Rossini.
He's the second worst completion percentage in the NFL in freezing temps. The guy hates the cold. He doesn't play well. And he says the reason is because he's got bad circulation. So his toes get cold. And as you know, with your feet.
Can I get you a suggestion for him? Allen listening? Can people get this message to him? Viagra. Take some Viagra for the game, baby. That'll fit that circulation going right.
I don't know how to move off of that.
I don't have any medical background, so I don't really have a response to that. But you played, so you must know something.
A lot of us take Viagra, right? Because Viagra opens up the blood vessels.
A lot of us take Viagra. What do you mean?
A lot of NFL players, at least in my day, took Viagra because it opens up the blood vessels. A lot of endurance athletes, because Viagra was first a heart medicine, right?
Bart Scott suggesting,
Dr. Bart Scott,
yeah, that many a player in his day took Viagra in cold weather to improve the circulation.
They may have.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know if I'm taking that before a football game.
Well, I think
at
we're
all,
burying
really,
a big portion of the story here. the quarterback in Buffalo doesn't like the cold. That's going to be a problem for the duration of his career, I think, especially in big games. I mean, they got to find a way to fix it. Like, here's the thing. Okay, he says that he has poor circulation, his feet get cold. Viagra aside, that may be the remedy here. Why not just those little packets that you break open and stuff them in your shoes?
Yeah.
You know,
we've all done that.
Right, that you get at Field and Stream or the place where you buy hunting stuff.
Yeah.
Just
and then go stand over next to that heater with the giant flame coming out of it.
But when you bust those things open, I mean, I know guys that go in the middle of Potter or Clarion County or whatever and sit in a freaking tree stand for a half a day and they don't get cold.
I've opened those packets before and then left them in my car, like after going to a game, right? You walk back to the car, you take them out, you turn the heat on in the car. And then I go back out to my car and for like 3 days, they're still warm somehow.
Yes.
Those things last forever. Viagra, if it lasts more than 4 hours, we know you've got a problem.
Bart Scott, Game of Inches, new take on that. But yeah, I don't know. Those things, they seem to, that would do the trick. But there is truth to that. Like if you really want to look into it, you have a quarterback publicly, not crowing, but making the point, who's Buffalo's quarterback.
Right.
He's not Miami's quarterback. He's Buffalo's quarterback saying, you know what, my feet hurt in the cold. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I'm all over New England tomorrow night. I'm sorry. You're giving Bill Belichick four points in a game. He's played this team twice already this year and embarrassed them in one game. Just embarrassed them to the point where he only had to throw the ball three times.
I mean, Belichick may win 3-0.
He'll do whatever he has to do. He doesn't care if he has to win 3-0, if he has to win 72-71.
The closer we get to this game, the more I hate the Bills. I just do.
I don't hate them.
I hate them in terms of taking them if I were betting.
Oh, you hate? Okay. It's just disappointing that that team should be taking a step forward this year.
Heck
anyway.
Yeah.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, even if the Steelers don't win Sunday night, this weekend going to be perfect for one thing. We'll get into that in a couple minutes. Charlie Batch, 9 o'clock. Carrington Harrison of 610 Sports Radio Kansas City at 8:30. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. In 30 minutes from now, top of the hour at 8 o'clock, and a special musical treat for you at 9:30 from one of our friends down the hall at KDKA AM and 100.1 FM. How are you feeling about this thing as the week progresses? Is it growing optimism? Is it growing dread? 412-928-9370. We'd love to hear from you, whether you call or text. We laid out the different scenarios or parts of the different scenarios that we could see playing out. And I think as you do that throughout the week, Colin, you talk it out with your friends and your coworkers and your family members. Like, well, you know, if this happens or that happens, who knows? They might be able to pull it off. I think that lends itself to growing optimism. But I also know some people out there that are like, well, there's no way this is happening. What are we talking about? Come on, cool your jets. They're going to go out there and get blown out. What do you think is rippling through Steelers Nation more right now? Growing optimism or growing dread?
Well, I think there is a faction of people that have growing optimism because they've had 7 days to analyze. And once you start to analyze, you can't keep treading over the same territory. And then you start looking at things differently. It's like with anything. It's like, oh, is this person perfect? Like, you know, you look at somebody that you're dating or whatever. Oh, they seem to be great. Oh, then you look and you try to pick flaws, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's working in reverse here. This is awful. It's terrible. It's the worst matchup ever.
Or you're looking at the Chiefs
and finding their flaws.
Yeah.
You're looking at them and you're saying, this is just a terrible, terrible matchup, an awful matchup. But no, wait. You know, maybe here I can do this. They've had so much time. You've had so much time to analyze that you start to look at it from a different vantage and different views through the prism. And I think there's a little bit of that effect that is kind of weighed in and kind of, you know, pushed into all of this that's happening right now. For me, it isn't so much this game needs to be won with the Steelers defense. Like, the Steelers defense has to win this game. I do think there's growing optimism, but it's still, from the time that game wasn't a tie until right now, the uphill battle that the Steelers have to have and just how long shot of a proposition this is, that hasn't wavered one bit for me. It hasn't. It is exactly the same as it was late Sunday night to right now Friday.
Maybe that's the difference. Like, as we've thought out different scenarios in our head, or at least as I've thought out different scenarios in my head throughout the week, it's always come back to, yeah, it's possible, but it's not probable. You know, here's the different ways, the different possibilities where I could see it happening. But there's no increasing confidence that it could happen, I guess.
From the time that tie happened, and this is what I'd ask people, because, again, I think it's a long shot. What variable has changed in the Steelers' favor from Sunday night to right now that has people thinking that way? Hey, there's been no injury, right? There's been nothing. I mean, the running back situation, I get the practice report with Kansas City.
Right, right.
What is it that Juju might play? Is it that?
Is that enough to really swing things?
For me, the variable that is most in balance here is Najee's health. So
Najee's health and Kelce being available for this game, too.
Well, and Tyreek Hill and his ankle and everything, or his injury and everything. But, you know, for me, I don't know what variable would have forced any more optimism for Steeler fans.
I'd love
to find it because I want it. I want to be part of that. But the growing optimism, I don't want to say it's lost on me, but it's always been a long shot proposition and it'll remain a long shot proposition outside of Pat Mahomes saying, I got the flu, I can't play today.
Right. Matt, you've talked about this. You talked about it this morning. What's leading to your growing sense of optimism here?
I don't even know if it's a growing sense of optimism. It's just more of like finding angles as to, okay, maybe they actually do have a chance. Like the TJ Watt stats, like he clearly wasn't the same guy the first time around, right?
Right. One tackle, I think, in the first game.
Right. Played 55% of the snaps. When he plays over 60%, they're 9-2.
Mm.
And when he's under 60% of the snaps, they were 0-5. So that's a guy, Tyreek Hill, you guys already mentioned him, that he's maybe not quite the same. And then Patrick Mahomes, I know this is earlier in the year, but he turned the ball over a lot. And maybe if you can create enough chaos, maybe he'll do that again.
Maybe he reverts back to early season Mahomes.
Yeah.
I think, but to bring it back to this point, I think as we talk those things out, and I think they're all very good points, I think as we talk them out, what it does is it gives you increasing hope. I don't think it gives you increasing confidence. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, my hope is like, okay, well, that could happen, or, oh, this thing could happen, or, oh, that thing might not work for the Chiefs. But it doesn't change your confidence level of them actually pulling off the upset.
And, you know, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to say that's the difference, I think, in between growing optimism and just growing hope. Like, going into the game against the Ravens last Sunday, you had zero hope they would even get into the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's no way the Colts are going to lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, and then it happened, right? So now we're at the point where hope is still what we're holding on to. It's not necessarily confidence.
Isn't it pretty wild how the NFL playoffs are here and the NFL COVID situation seems to be totally under control now? I bet a quarterback or even a high-end player does not test positive for COVID moving forward. Pretty wild to me how this has gone away. I mean,
that would be brutal if they got to this point and then all of a sudden
it's not going
to
happen.
Somebody
they
did
got
test
to the playoffs.
Out of the game.
They just quit. It is. It's wild to me. It's pretty coincidental that we're here. I mean, there will not be another high profile case. There may be a down the liner. There may be one guy here and there there is no way they're keeping quarterbacks out of this or high profile guys. I mean, Ben was on the COVID list earlier this year. I mean, it happened.
So let's say some guy comes and I don't know, maybe I don't think anybody's. I know they like to tout the fact that guys are self-reporting symptoms, but it's the playoffs now. So, right. But let's say somebody is quite obviously like sick, right? And they test that person and it comes back positive. You think they find a way to just sweep it all under the rug?
I don't know. I don't want to incriminate anyone or call anybody liars, but it's crazy how we went through every week of the regular season, and one of the big stories was who's going to be on the COVID list Now there's, isn't it one backup practice squad linebacker or whatever that's coming back, and it's not even in the vortex or in the thought process for any of these 14 teams right now. It's not even a topic.
Maybe it's just the fact that it's burned through everybody or most guys in the NFL, or at least it feels like that. I don't know. It's interesting though.
I think there's a lot at play here. And hey, look. It is what it is, but it really is coincidental.
Nick in West Mifflin. Producer Matt drinking the Kool-Aid, hashtag drunk. This is Mahomes and Kelsey, not Baker and Njoku.
I understand that. I am trying to find ways you can have some hope.
7:47, happy Friday morning to you. Time to stop out at Century 3 Chevrolet for their used car super sale. The Steelers polka. We did it. Here we go yesterday, and thanks to Roger Wood for getting us the updated version. It was phenomenal. Steelers polka at 9:30, live edition.
Let's see if this guy can do Renegade. I mean, let's see. Pat Septak, right?
Yes.
He works here. He is the quietest guy. You don't know a whole lot about him. He minds his business, does his job. He's Johnny Office.
He sits there in the newsroom amongst all the chaos, especially once everybody filters in for the day.
Right.
With these big headphones on. And just sits there and cuts up sound all day and makes sure it's available. And
Have you asked him?
No, I just got Jim to ask him.
Ask what else he knows.
Such a wonderfully nice human being.
You got Jim to ask him. This conversation might
take
40 minutes.
Yeah.
We kind of want to know the answer now. Yell to Jim. Say, Jim, we need to know. What else does he know? Specifically, does he know Renegade? Because we're trying to give the people. I mean, they might set their alarm to this. Set your alarm. Get up early. Set your alarm. A reminder on their phone that I got to come back and hear this.
Yes,
you know, if they got some running around to do.
9:30.
At 9:30. Does he know Renegade on the accordion?
Renegade on the accordion. This might change everything.
It might be disastrous, but it'd be like, well, you know, that might be the hook. That it's so bad, it's good. But he's
a when you were on vacation back in November,
player. Yes.
He came in and did the Steelers polka live on the accordion. And it was phenomenal. It was fantastic. He nailed it. So we'll see how. I mean, we know the Steelers polka will be good. I don't know about the Renegade part. We'll find out at 9:30. Charlie Batch at 9. Carrington Harrison from Kansas City, a view from behind enemy lines at 8:30. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, his triumphant return to the Fan Morning Show in 10 minutes. Can he do Renegade, Matt?
It doesn't sound like it. No.
No. What's in his? Do we know what else he's got going on besides the Steeler polka? Or is he a one trick pony?
He said the two sports things that I have are Steelers polka and Sweet Caroline, which
no thanks.
We don't want that today.
Yeah. What else does he do though?
And then like the
beer barrel polka.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You can do that.
Charge. Yeah. We all yell charge.
We'll do all yell charge.
Okay. It's better than nothing.
The best part of the Steeler polka is looking up the lyrics and singing along. That's the best part.
That's really like the Pennsylvania polka, right? Is it?
Yeah, but it's with Steeler lyrics.
Correct.
Yeah. The predecessors to the great Roger Wood.
There is a guy. Let me go off on a tangent here. There's this restaurant in Las Vegas called Batista's, right?
Okay.
It's toward the back door of Bally's. It's out the back on that little road there. And there is a liquor store that has really good prices, by the way. Not as good as Hampton Beer Outlet, but really good prices. If you're looking to buy liquor, there's a liquor store right there by Batista's, right? And so there is a guy who has the world figured out. And it's this campy kind of, the food's just okay, but their portions are big, and it's like, it's not all that great, but you go for the atmosphere. They got all these pictures hanging up on the wall. It feels like this Vegas old Italian restaurant.
Okay.
Again, it's
nice.
it's just okay, but you go in there, and you're in these booths, and they're like, oh, you feel like you're in a mobster movie,
right,
you know?
Right.
And there's this goof that walks around, and he's got like a hunched back, and he looks like he's about 85 years old. And he walks around with an accordion. and he walks up to your table and he goes, "What can I play for you?" You know, and he's like this little, he's like 5'3",
like Danny DeVito size,
right? Yeah. Right. I mean, he is tiny, like Rob Owen, and he's just a little guy, and he will ask you, "What can I play for you?" And I bet this, and then you give him a tip. And everybody, you could tell from five tables away, okay, there's people from Pittsburgh because the guy's playing freaking Steeler polka, right? And he'll go and he'll play this other song. He probably makes, Matt Fried and I talk about this, the Post-Gazette photographer. He probably makes $250,000 a year in tips.
Sure.
And he has the world figured out. All this dude does is walk around at Batista's with an accordion, and then you give him $10. And he does it all the time. $20, here you go. And I'm thinking, like, is that a better life than the one everyone's leading?
Yes.
Yes.
Question for
and
you.
And he only probably has to know 20 songs.
When you're at a place.
Yes.
And they're taking requests for tips, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And you go up and you throw money in and say, "Hey, can you play whatever? I don't know. Pick a song." And they say, I think I can do that.
Uh-huh.
And they try and play it. And they either don't pull it off at all or they just do a terrible rendition.
Thought that counts.
You can't pull your money back out of the guitar case or whatever.
What if you make change? What if you only have a 20 and you want to give the guy $5? Do you take $15 out of his
money
hat?
But that happened. I think I told you guys this. This happened in Nashville when we went.
The song was bad.
Well, no, he just couldn't do it at all. We were at a little tiny little place on, what's that alley called? There's an alley with a bunch of bars
on it. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Painter's Alley.
Yes.
In Nashville. And we're there with some friends, and we're hanging out, and there's a guy.
Pressman's Alley or Painter's Alley?
Painter's Alley. Alley, yeah. And there's a guy just cut, or Printer's Alley.
Printer's
maybe.
Alley, yes.
Okay, we got it now. There's a guy, you know, just up there with a guitar, just him and his guitar playing, because it's like a Sunday night, I think it was. And I walked up, and he had just played some kind of classic rock song. And I was like, "Hey, we're from Pittsburgh. You think you could play Renegade by Styx?" He's like, "Let me see.
Give it a go."
And he kind of worked on it for like 3 or 4 minutes, and eventually he just looked at me. He's like, "I'm sorry, I can't." Yeah, he was like, "Anything else?" I was like,
"But don't you either know or don't straight away?"
He had like a little thing on his phone, and a lot of the performers in Nashville do this, where they kind of look up the guitar tab for it on an app, and they can kind of learn it on the fly. But he couldn't figure out Renegade. And so I had already tipped him. It was like, "Hey, just play something else. I don't care."
Yeah, Lady of Spain.
Yeah.
Do it.
Dealer's choice at this point.
Yes.
But, like, you can't go grabbing the money back.
No. But those people.
Uncouth.
That guy at Batista's, man, he, again, I think about it. He has the world figured out. He walks booth to booth. "What can I do for you?" "Oh, she'd like to hear My Way."
Yeah.
"Oh, it's my wife."
But the accordion isn't like an especially romantic vibe.
Doesn't
you know?
Need to be. You're in this campy place that is Batista's in Vegas. You're sitting there. You're filled up. They give you way too much food. It's just very average food, but it's the atmosphere, and it's just you're feeling it. You feel like a mobster's going to bust in at any time. And
Joe Pesci's going to walk around the corner any second.
Yes.
I'm funny how?
Right.
Like a clown?
Oh, man. So we're going to have an accordion player.
I mean,
that's
wait.
What we got going on.
That's where we're at on a football Friday.
Where we are in
Pat
life.
Septak, news editor from KDKA, comes in and plays a Steeler polka live at 9:30.
With this guy that works here in the office, Mr. Pat Septak, who I call Johnny Office Guy, because he's just like the standard issue office guy. How did anybody come to find out that he plays accordion? Like, did it become a topic of conversation?
I don't
blurted
know.
It out
he just
one
brought
time?
It in one day back in November.
Yeah,
I know that.
He did.
And that's how Matt and I found out.
We just went out in the newsroom like midway through the show, and there was Pat sitting there with an accordion. We're like, what is happening?
What the hell is happening?
That makes you wonder, are workplaces all over this country, the skills that people have that other people just might not know.
Right.
You know, you just might not know till you ask. Start to talk
right.
to people. Really, like, do you have any hidden skills, Producer Matt? Like, is there anything you could do? Like, I'll give you one in this office. No one knows, probably. This will blow a lot of people's mind. If you hand Zeiss a Rubik's Cube, he's one of those guys that can do it. Like,
really?
I've seen him do it.
In half a second.
And it's disturbing. Disturbingly
how easy quick it is. How fast he can do it.
Like, there's a cheat code in his brain.
Like, did you ever see where they have it at, like, Carnegie Mellon or, like, Harvard or somewhere? They're like, these three guys, they can do it in 0.6 seconds. We're going to have a Rubik's Cube off.
Would Zeiss be good at chess or not? Because chess requires patience. But it also requires a lot of those permutations in your head.
He can't focus that long. It would take too long.
You're right.
Well, we've got cameras in here now, so it could be an on-camera
You can
thing.
Hand Zeiss one, a Rubik's Cube.
If Zeiss ever gets here while we're here.
It blew me away when I saw it one time. Because I never connect his brain thinking like that. You know?
No.
And that is one of the office skills. You'd never know.
Rubik's Cube
that,
savant.
Like, Jim Colony, downhill skier.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people look at Jim, they go, I don't know. And you look on video, he looked like Alberto Tomba.
There's a lot of athleticism trapped in that old soul.
He was incredible on skis.
I know.
Incredible.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.